hello, friends. Today, I have a very special guest on the show. I'm having a conversation with Rob Brown. He is part of the C-Suite for Christ organization. If you've never heard of it, don't worry. He's going to talk you through what this organization is. It's very cool. I highly encourage you to get connected into it if it is in your area. And he is also the host of his own podcast, The Faith Crusader. And we were having a really wonderful conversation. Some of the things that we talked about were what it's like to actually have a truly like Jesus-centered business, you know, how we bring our faith into our work and our organization and our leadership. We talked about the importance of having community and fellowship with other Christian entrepreneurs. That's one of the missions of the C-Suite for Christ organization, which you'll hear about in just a little bit. And it was a really enjoyable conversation. I loved getting to chat with him. I hope that you are blessed by this conversation too. There's a lot of very fun and encouraging things that we are going to be talking about. So let's get into this really awesome conversation. This is Simple Facebook Group Strategy with me, Sarah Beisel. Do you want to know how to set up and optimize your Facebook group? Do you need a content strategy you can actually stick to? Are you wondering how to get new members into your group every single week? Then you, my friend, are in the right place. Over the last 3 years, I've developed simple strategies for optimization, growth, and engagement so you can create a Facebook group that actually supports your business. I grew my group from 0 to 1,500 members on my own, and I make consistent sales every single month without showing up anywhere else on social media. And I did all of this in less than 30 minutes per day. I believe that when we pour into our community strategically, we pave the way for the kind of relationships that turn into paying customers. So if you're ready to start your Facebook group, create an engagement strategy, and develop a growth plan so you can finally have the foundations to market your business successfully, grab a coffee and pull up a chair. Let's do this. Are you frustrated by the lack of engagement in your Facebook group? I remember when I first started my group, I was lucky if I'd get a couple of likes and maybe one comment. But they put in so much effort to get more interaction, and I finally felt like I had it. But then the enemy distracted me and led me to take a 4-month break from my group. When I finally came back, it was like starting from scratch all over again. All the engagement I was getting before was completely gone. But now, 1 year after starting over, I have so much interaction with every single post. I get upwards of 20 to 30 comments on my posts, and dozens of members are sharing posts of their own every single day. My members start and continue conversations with each other, and we have such a beautiful, thriving community. And the best part is that this doesn't take hours of my time each day. My engagement strategy only takes 30 minutes. I'm teaching you this exact engagement strategy inside my course, Facebook Group Foundations. Come over to sarahbeisel.com/Facebook Group Foundations to see if this course is the answer you've been praying for. That's sarahbeisel.com/Facebook Group Foundations. I'll see you inside. Rob, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you.
That's so cool. I'm so glad to be here, Sarah. Thanks for having me on. And I've been looking forward to this as well.
Yeah, me too. So I want to just get started with a little bit of context about what C-Suite is, what their mission is, because it's something that I certainly wasn't familiar with before I connect with you. And it's really cool to learn about it. So I just would love for people that maybe don't know much about it like I did, just give us a little bit of context.
No, I appreciate that. C-Suite for Christ has been around since 2018. I would love to say that I'm the founder. I'm not. It was founded in Milwaukee. Paul Neuberger founded the organization. He'll tell you the story that he accidentally started it with about 5 or 6 people that were business executives and said, hey, let's get together and do a little Bible study. Well, it's now grown into, and we have 14 chapters nationwide, of which I run the Arizona chapter. So I'm the licensee/president of the Arizona chapter. And I was actually the first one outside of Milwaukee to launch a chapter.
Wow.
And now
cool.
just in this last year, we've had 13 others jump on board, and I break my arm, pat myself on the back. But this wasn't about me. This is just being that first, the first follower, as they say.
Yeah, very cool. And what's the kind of mission of the C-Suite for Christ organization?
C-Suite is where Christian business owners, leaders, executives come together. What we do, we get together once a month. Our mission statement is to cover the world in Christ. And really what that means is, and one thing that we focus on a lot here at our chapter is being a Christian leader. What does that mean to whether you're leading a Chick-fil-A, where everybody knows, you know, hey, they're closed on Sunday. It's a Christian place to be. Most of us in small business, we don't have that luxury to be able to tell that, story. So that's one of the things that what does that mean to lead your company with Christ as the center point? Does it mean that you have to, you know, talk about Jesus every day? Does that mean you have to share Jesus every day? Some people would argue that, you know, yes, you should be doing that anyway. But as a leader, there's other ways that we have to be able to show Jesus and show him in in our interactions with our customers, with our vendors, with our employees, you know, just to show him and show Jesus that way.
Yeah, very cool. And I think it's such an important conversation to have. I know it's a question I get a lot, or I hear a lot, is, you know, like, should I have a business that's just Christian and just serves Christians? Or like, how do I have a Christian business and not have that be like a super like outward focus of it? And so I think it's something everybody seems to wrestle with on one level or another. So I think it's a really important conversation to be having with people.
And it is. It really is. I mean, we have it. Like I said, it's kind of become my life mission, is, and we generalize and call it marketplace ministry. But that's just one of the things that, you know, I do some public speaking. I do things like that as well. And it's just kind of been the thing that God has laid on my heart. It's like, just talk about, because as a leader, whether we want to or not, whether we realize it or not, that all eyes are on us all the time. You know, I mean, just everybody is watching what we're doing all the time, especially nowadays in the digital world. We see all the stories all the time on the news about the people that have fallen from grace because of something stupid that they did or didn't do or whatever.
Yeah.
But all eyes are on us all the time. So why not show Jesus? Why not show him and show that love and what he means to us? Because one of the things that in my background, you know, I mean, I've lost 3 different jobs because of sharing my faith in some way in the workplace when it was inappropriate. But that was always been my argument. It's like, you know what, I'm telling my testimony, and this is what Jesus has done for me. You can never take that away. And I'm sorry if that offends somebody.
Well,
it's one of those sorry, not sorry. I'm never going to apologize for what Jesus has done for me and what he means to me. And, you know, in most businesses, in most cases, that's okay. But, we've always got to be smart about that.
Yeah, it's such a brave thing to do as well. I feel like I would, and maybe it's just because I'm still young, but I feel like I would be so scared to talk about something if I knew that my job could be on the line. Like, I know that a lot of people have that question, like, and it, you know, over the last several years as well, with all the things that have been going on in the world, and people have had a lot of opinions, rightly or wrongly, you know, because there's a lot of, that's a whole separate conversation about that. But people had a lot of opinions and not felt that they've been able to share them because of fear of losing a job or being reprimanded, banned from social media platforms. And some of that's been faith-based, some of that's been medical-based, lots of other like political things have been going on as well. And it's a frustrating and sad position to be in, where we're not able to just talk about those things, that like our experiences and our perspectives and our opinions or our stories in the case of our testimonies. And it's like, well, how do you navigate it? What do you do?
Well, and that's a thing. And in fact, I was on another show a while back, and one of the things that we were talking about was just when you're going through is, you know, God can never, he can never take, nobody can ever take our testimony away from us. And one of the things that she and I were talking about at that moment were, when why does God continue to use broken people? And that was kind of the question that she threw out there, because I laugh at it all the time. I had I think I was sharing with you before, I had a very intense conversation and a very intense argument with God when he said, this is what I want you to do. And I'm like, no, not going to happen. Ain't going to do it. But he's like, yes, because I want you. Him telling me that he wants me to people to see that I'm broken and I need him. I'm not the guy that's got everything figured out. In fact, very, very far from it, that I have to rely on God. And that's what he wants, because he wants us to rely on. He doesn't want us relying on our own abilities and our own skill level. And I shouldn't say it that way, because he does give those things to us.
Yeah.
But he wants us to recognize the fact that we're really nothing without him. And I know that's definitely the case for me. So,
yeah, it's the heart posture, right? Like it's just that constant lesson for me, I guess it's that constant lesson of humility. And for me, patience is a big one. Like I'm very impatient. I want to just get things done, and I want them done now, and I want the results yesterday. And that's not how the business world works. That's not how life works. And every test I get from God over the last several years, it's been like, okay, this is a lesson in patience. I'm like, okay, I still haven't learned that lesson. I know. I'm sorry. I'm trying. Here's another lesson in patience. Oh my gosh. So yeah. And so I think that's part. He knows us well. He knows what we need to, learn to pursue. Well, I want to change pace just a little bit to dig into some conversations around community. Because I think it's really, both of us are involved in communities in different ways. And I think it's really interesting for us to just talk about our experiences. So from your perspective, I'd love to know, why has it been so important for business leaders to gather in that community, whether it's an in-person community or online? What are some of those, benefits or the transformations or the powerful moments that you've seen as a result of coming together in those spaces?
Well, I think there was so much, I think as a business leader, like I had said, all eyes are on us all the time. And so what better opportunity do we have to go above and beyond and to show Jesus's love for our customers, for our staff. And it can be just a simple little thing. Instead of saying, I got lucky on that one. I was very blessed on that. So there's little ways that we can insert our faith into that, where we don't have to shove it down somebody's throat. One of the things that, if you'll forgive me, I'll share a little story. And I think this is, to me, was kind of very indicative of why, as a leader, why it's so important for us to show that in the community. Was so our first C-Suite for Christ morning, the first meeting that we had had, somebody that was an invitation of somebody that I had invited, had come into the meeting. And she was kind of teetering on the edge of accepting Christ or not. Like, she was hearing about him and, and she shared the story with me later. And I didn't know about it until actually our 1 year anniversary of our first meeting. So it was pretty cool. But she was telling me, she's like, I was kind of teetering and I was hear about him and I wasn't really sure. So anyway, she's a professional photographer, an absolutely amazing woman. Absolutely amazing, as I've gotten to know her over the last year or so. So a friend of hers invited her to come to our meeting. Mm-hmm. And meeting and seeing other business leaders there, being real and talking about the fact that, yes, we're leaders. We feel like we have to present that we've got it all together, but we don't. I mean, we're still broken. We're still human.
Yeah.
But her seeing that just like it triggered her. She felt very comfortable and very at ease. So she went to church that night. This was a Wednesday. She went to the church that night with the friend that had invited her. She accepted Christ that night. And accepted Christ as her Savior that night, which was an incredibly powerful testimony. But what's been really neat for me to see, and I didn't realize until later, is she, like I said, she's a photographer. So she's in front of people all the time. And she'll, hey, can I pray for you? Can we do this? Mm-hmm. And she is now inserting Jesus into her everyday conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's been so much fun for me to see that. And then when she told me the story behind that, it literally, and I'm fighting back, getting choked up here now as I'm telling this, But it was just that thing. It was, she just, to see that and hear those, you know, hear Jesus come out of her mouth more and more as as I've gotten to know her over, you know, and particularly not just as a person, but as a business owner. It's been fun to see.
That's really amazing. I love, it's so cool. Just, it's such a reminder that, like, sometimes it's something like the smallest little act can just be that one thing that people need to, you know, get within their own minds and accept and take that next step for them. I think sometimes I get in my head about the fact that you're taking someone from step zero to step 10 all at once, and that's not what it's about at all. But that's just, I think that's a lot of the perception that we have, especially about, you know, evangelizing and preaching and sharing all of those things, is it has to be this big, bold thing, or it has to be this massive step. And sometimes, most of the time, in fact, it's not. It's a series of very small steps that lots of different people have that input in different ways. And how do we just do one small little nice thing that shares our faith, does a good thing, and, you know, helps someone just, you know, ask themselves one more question that takes them closer to their end of the journey, you know?
Exactly. And I was, I've been asked that question before on other, as a guest on other shows, is people say, what do you see as your role in the kingdom? And my answer is very simple. I'm a gardener. Sometimes I'm the person that plants the seed. Sometimes I'm the person that gets to be there when the harvest happens. But 99% of the time, I'm just adding water to the seed. That little seed of faith that somebody else plants it at some point in their life, and that somebody else will likely get to see the harvest if they haven't already. But my job is just to be, just to show Jesus and to water that seed and let it grow and let it nurture and let it be there. Like, so that's kind of, and I think that's the way it is for most of us. I think you said it perfectly. Most of us see it has to be this big. Oh, we had, I led this person to Christ, and I'm like, well, I would love to be there, and it's a really cool thing when it happens, but that's not my role. That's not where God has me in most cases.
That's such a nice visual, being the, just, I'm picturing this really nice little flower garden that you're just out there every day watering. That's so lovely. I'm in the Pacific Northwest. We just need the weather to do it for us. We don't need to do much watering here, but it's still a really lovely visual. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things as well, I guess, just coming back to communities, whether they are completely like Christ-focused communities or just wider communities where there's a mixture of people, like they both serve their different purposes. But a lot of the times the community is just doing the watering. It's not doing any of those big foundational things. It's not doing the end result. It's just nurturing people, building them up, encouraging them, helping either people strengthen their own faith or helping people, you know, answer questions or ask questions of themselves in, you know, the different spots.
And I think as a business, I think that's just as, whether it's a Christian or non-Christian or an unbeliever, I think just we have that opportunity to build up our staff members. As if we're a manager or a leader, we have that opportunity to build up our staff, educate them, teach them, train them, teach them to start asking those questions. And I think that's the reason why, like I was saying, God wants us to ask those questions. He doesn't want us to just fall in line on anything for any reason.
Yeah. But
particularly when it comes to him, he wants us to ask those questions of him.
Yeah. Something that I was thinking about that you'd said, because I think it's really interesting. I'd love to just go into it a little bit more, because you're talking about different ways that we can serve our staff or our community members or the people that we work with. And I think as a leader, sometimes like there's so much to be thinking about as a leader in any sort of context, whether it's running a business or just a leader within your organization. But as someone that is a leader of your community in your organizations, what kind of things are you thinking about or focused on to make sure that you are nurturing people, not just in their faith, although that's a huge part of it, but just like nurturing them well and sharing like Jesus, like Christ characteristics, even if it's not an explicit thing? Like, what kind of things do you focus on or do?
Great question. Well, for me, it was, like I said, my background is hospitality. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I learned early on in that career was that when you're looking for somebody, because I started out in the back of the house as a line cook, and then worked up as a chef, and then moved over to the front of the house. So whether you're cooking for somebody or you're serving them or even just pouring them a drink as a bartender, I mean, wherever you're at in the room, you treat them as though they're family. You treat them as though they're a guest in your own home. Mm. I think, you know, So for me, it was always about guest service and teaching and treating people that way. As I got a little bit older and got a little bit farther along in my career, that was that conversation was, it was still about customers, but it became more about my other managers and people, because I get to know them a little bit. I'd want to know, why are you here? What is it you want? Are you here just because you needed a part-time job and this is getting you through college, which is fine? Or is this something you want as a career? Because, and then where do I see my role in that? And, you know, I mean, God saying, okay, where do you want me to insert myself into this person's life to be able to help develop that, whether it be teaching the guest service skills, that even if they're just a part-time, you know, that's going to serve them well. If it's teaching them as a manager, these are the things that you need to take on from a servant leadership perspective. Like we have to serve others, whether it be serving your guests, but my job is, you know, as a manager, is to serve my staff. What can I do to make your life simpler, to help you be able to do your job? That's always the way I saw my role. And, you know, and then you take Jesus and you insert that into that same thing. But I think, and it doesn't matter what it is, whether you're in technology, whether you're, you know, in a biology lab somewhere, any, but there's just, there's an end user to your product or your service, whatever you're doing, and always keeping them in mind whenever we're doing that, no matter what your role is.
Yeah, I love that. And I think something that is, it's really striking and it's really important to remember, because especially when, like, from my perspective, when I'm like in an entirely digital world and a lot of the conversations are around efficiency and scaling things and automating things, and there's always like those conversations there and they're important, but you can never really automate away your relationship building. And I think that's something here that, especially when you're focused on staff or leaders or, you know, trying to bring people into your organization, it's all the more important you really take the time, even although it is time consuming, to build those relationships and to give people that one-on-one time. It's important to make the space for it, even if it's in small ways, because you can't replicate that really in any way. Like, there's a robot can't do that, and automation can't do that for you, you know.
Exactly. No matter what you do, I mean, and that's the thing that I think God, again, going back to when God started calling me, I just laughed, because I mean, there's a number of reasons why I argued with him. But I don't have a, you know, a ministry background. It's not my education level, that kind of stuff. But God's like, but you're really good at building relationships. And that's what it is. I heard a guy say one time, life is about the ships. It's about friendships, relationships, partnerships. I mean, there's, you know, the ships in life, because life is about the ships. And I was like, great way to say it. And, you know, again, whether it be a customer service perspective or a Christian perspective or whatever it is, but you're, got started down a rabbit trail. Now I lost my train of thought. All the God was saying, he's like, you know, you really get about building those relationships. And that's where, you know, in the digital age, I think it's one of those things that we kind of struggle with. You know, Zoom is nice and podcasts are great and everything else, but one of the things that you can't replace being there and looking somebody in the eye and shaking their hand, or being able to give them a hug if it's appropriate, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, can't replace that.
Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest things really lost with digital, is like, there's, it's, and some of it is just like those little cues that you're picking up that you can kind of see on a Zoom call, but not as easily. And especially if you're just, you know, talking on social media where it's all text-based, then you're really missing a whole, like, aspect of communication that, you know, we were designed to communicate with gestures and facial expressions, and, you know, just being able to kind of sense things from people as well. Like, there's so many things that is really difficult to capture in any way once you're in that digital space, which I guess makes the intent to have any sort of one-on-one time all the more important, because a Zoom call is at least close. Right.
Yeah, and it is. It's a good compromise. But I think that it's one of the reasons why, you know, again, I don't get into conspiracy theories and all this kind of thing, but when you look at, you know, the pandemic and you look at COVID, and you can, I think as Christians, we can very easily see where the devil inserted himself into that. And it was to drive wedges in between, whether it's personal relationships, business relationships, whatever it is. But we lost that connecting point. And, you know, I'm fortunate. One of the reasons why I love Arizona so much is because we were very quick to want to get back to in-person as much as possible. And as they say, kind of damn the torpedoes, we're going, we're getting back to together. And not every state, not every community did that. And,
Well, in my area, my, like my church is really only just talking about coming through the pandemic now, four years later, which is a very long lifespan for that to have been living in people's minds and souls. And that was just the pace that our area seemed to want to take things. I mean, most of the regulations and stuff changed, but just in terms of that, like getting back to normal perspective or trying to reinvigorate the community elements together, it's like, it's been a long lifespan where people have, you know, prioritized other things, which is fine, but there has been something lost in that that I think it's really important to acknowledge and talk about, right?
No, and like I said, I think I believe that that's where the, you know, one of those times where the devil really inserted himself into that was to drive those wedges between us as humans, you know, just where we've lost that part. And you touched on it, social media, we've seen on there quite a bit. It's one of the reasons why I don't, you know, unfortunately, I'm still single and things like that. It's one of the reasons why I don't date a whole lot, because it's so hard to have a conversation with people. It's like, I want to, they want to talk or they want to text. And I was just like, no, I want to have a conversation. Like, let's talk on the phone for a few minutes. Then let's get together. I don't want to just text every single day, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's amazing how quickly our culture shifts to just accept new things or new kind of bases of communication or things. But I still believe that we'll get there with the digital world. Like, I feel like we're in this kind of weird hump where it's just been accelerating so much and it's all so new and shiny and exciting. And we're now kind of coming to that point where we're realizing that there are things missing from social, like social media connections compared to like the in-person connections. And we're seeing it with the data and the statistics. You know, people are lonelier than they've ever been before. The suicide rates are higher than they've ever been. Part of that's obviously not just social media, but it's a huge factor that social media is really impacting our teens and in particular. And I feel like now that we're realizing that, I'm hoping that we're going to now begin the next part of that journey, which is how do we back off a little bit? How do we make them a little bit more human? How do we make them more friendly? How do we make them a bit more actual connections and more real? So hopefully we'll get there.
Well, that's where I think that, you know, us as a church, I think it's imperative upon us, whether it be, and I say church with the capital C, not necessarily just, you know, the neighborhood church, whatever else, I'm saying us as a community, we have to begin that connection with people. You know, you look back in the days of the early church, particularly in the very, very early church, I mean, they were meeting at people's homes and breaking bread every single day. I don't think we're going to get to that point. We may be meeting people's homes, but we're not going to be eating together every single day. We're not going to be doing that kind of stuff just because that's not feasible for our lives nowadays. But we still have that ability to begin to make that connection with people where technology, you know, a text message or, you know, when somebody's on your heart, and I'm not perfect at this, so I'm not trying to make it sound all judgmental and stuff. But when somebody comes on my heart and I just think about it, I try to pick up my phone and send them a text. And like, hey, man, I just was thinking about you today. And, you know, just want to check on you. And just being able to do those things at least reminds us that we do have a human connection. There is some humanity in all of this.
Yeah.
No matter how digital your life is or otherwise.
And how busy we get. I think it's so easy to forget to make those connections with people. And I'm really bad at it too. I'm trying to get myself a little better, but I'll blame baby brain and motherhood for being so forgetful about these kinds of things. But it's really important. Like, there's so many friends that I just don't talk with nearly as much as I used to because I forget or I just don't have the time. And just even taking 30 seconds to be like, hey, how's it going? I was thinking about this memory today. How are you doing? You know, I think and getting better at just doing that, to just remind ourselves, hey, you know, we do know people. We are real. We have these shared experiences. We can talk about it and continue that in some way.
Yeah. And it's really cool. I mean, I love it because I'll send that text message out and that I'll get some of the just craziest responses. You know, I mean, there's all of a sudden you get a connection Yeah, it's disappointing, of course. You throw that text message out and then the person doesn't respond at all. And you're like, okay, well, you know, at least now I know. But, you know, you got to remember, they're probably just as busy as you are on the other side of that. But, I mean, I love it when I get, I'll send that out. I'm like, hey, I was thinking about you today. Or like you said, I was thinking about that time when we went to, you know, whatever. And then they get back and then the memories kind of start and you end up starting a whole new conversation again. And, you know, I ended up going down to, it happened a few years ago and I ended up going down to Cancun with a friend of mine. I don't know really why grew up together. He's one of my closest friends in school way back in the day. And we talked now and then, but we just started connecting again. Then we ended up going down to Cancun and at the time I was connecting with him, I reached out to him. He was going through a breakup, pretty serious breakup at that time. And then, so we ended up going down to Cancun and we created a whole new set of memories. So it was just, you know, it was one of those things he needed. It's what he needed to get through at that moment. And, you know, he puts those people on our hearts for a reason.
I was just about to say that. It's if someone pops into my mind, I'm now like, okay. God wanted me to think about that person because there's no way I did it on my own because I wasn't thinking about them and they're not related to anything that I'm doing. So if they're on my mind, there's got to be a reason.
Exactly. It is. And it's fun to do, especially when you go back and you're just like, oh, yeah. And as you get a little bit older, the memory slips and things like that. So, you know, you have more of those. But I have to think about when I'm sitting there, God forbid I end up with, you know, Alzheimer's or something like that. All I have left is just my memories. What is technology going to be like at that time? So I can tell people like, hey, I don't have much of a memory left, but I just had a memory of loss.
Yeah. It'll be cool to see how it evolves over the next little while. Hopefully it evolves for the better rather than for the worse, but inevitably it will be worse before it gets better, I think, because that just seems to be the way tech goes. Well, this has been such a fun conversation. I feel like we could just keep chatting all day, but we will have to stop at some point. So would you mind just as we're wrapping up, just if people want to get involved in C-Suite, if they're interested in, you know, either attending meetings or just learning a little bit more to see if there's something in their area that they can get involved in, where do you recommend people go or to connect with you to get more information?
No, I appreciate it. Thanks again, Sarah. Thanks so much for having me on. So C-Suite for Christ, you can go out of the website and that goes into our main one. They give you an idea. You can find a chapter on there, see if there's one close to you. If there's not, and you're thinking, you know, hey, this would be really kind of cool to have in my area, there's a way in there where you can connect with Paul, with the founder and stuff like that to be able to do that. I lead the Arizona chapter, like I said. So C-Suite for Christ, AZ. For Arizona is best way to reach me. We meet in person. Actually, we just launched our second monthly meeting. We've had the first Tuesday of the month we meet at our church, and then just in January we launched the second monthly meeting just because our worship is growing on the other side of town. We had people that wanted to join us there. So,
nice.
And you can always, even if there's not a chapter in your, which is a pretty cool thing too.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, well, this has been so good. Thank you so much for sharing all of this wisdom and conversation around community and the journey of being a Christian in the business world and in the working world, because it's certainly not always easy, that's for sure, but always worth it.
Always fun. It's always there. Just be the gardener.
Be the gardener.
Be willing to be used.
That's a great way to wrap up. Well, thank you so much. This has been fab.
Thanks, Sarah.
Hey friend, if you loved today's episode, I want to hear about it. Let's continue the discussion in my free Facebook group. Go to sarahbeisel.com/community and tell me what you thought. I would also love it if you took 30 seconds to leave me a review. Reviews help other people just like you find the show so they can create thriving Facebook groups too. It's time for me to reheat my coffee and head inside my group. I'll see you there or back here for the next episode.